Chapter 13, The View Forward. Ofttimes the wolf felt sheer hatred for himself, but the next moment he felt the satisfaction of having killed the fox dictator and avenged Joliad. So the next morning he talked with his roommate about the victory over Carteron and his dream from yesterday, which was exactly the same as what had happened 6 years ago. They sat in the cafeteria and had breakfast. Dragan was visibly impressed, but had no explanation for the absolute correctness and realism of the dream. There weren't many people around, so Emmerich could be sure not to be labeled crazy with everything that he was saying. "I don't know who he is, but I think this dog was here recently. He was walking around the hospital talking to Nurse Eremia. He seems to be interested in you, I guess. And you say he first showed up when you bought that knife from him?" "Yes," Emmerich confirmed, "and later he rescued me from the leader's headquarters. It's a strange thing. Also, the things he said about all of us here, that we were just made-up creatures inside his visions. All that complicated, deranged stuff." "Did you take that from him?" asked Dragan incredulously, placing a slice of sausage on his bun. "Well," the wolf then mused, "Joliad believed him. And besides, he had knowledge of my and Joliad's sexuality." Dragan thought and wordlessly chewed the food. Emmerich was not hungry and had not ordered anything. But he would have liked to get an answer or some help. What should he do now after all this time? What was to be thought of this information? Could it exist at all? After a while, the fox cleared his throat, drank that newfangled drink everyone called coffee, and gave Emmerich a hint. "Well, if I were you, Wolf, I'd see about getting some more info via a computer here. I mean, about this Alsatian. You're going to have to stay here for a while anyway. Don't want you to come home and walk into a trap. Who knows what he wants from you? You know? That's a damn good idea. Praise the Samoyeden. At least I can still spend the time here wisely. Thanks for the tip. Can we just use the computers then?" "Sure thing. Talk to one of the nurses. They'll bring you one of those weird tablet PCs. It's a human invention. I don't think much of it." Emmerich nodded happily. The two of them walked around a little in the courtyard of the hospital and the fox looked at the other male wolf carefully. Emmerich always looked sad, seemed introverted and like an anxious ghost. At the same time he was not ugly, had no particular flaws. How could such a young, dynamic and handsome male look so bitter? Somehow the old man had to be able to cheer him up. They went on their daily rounds to their shared room, the wolf being careful not to walk too fast, because Dragan had to push his walker with a limp. Respectfully, the younger man walked beside him, through the long, light-filled corridors, which were decorated with many abstract pictures. "I must admit, Wolf, not everyone likes to be just as fast as the slowest. It's nice that you're still someone of the old school," the old man praised. "Well, in my culture, that's just the way it is. I don't think respect can be taught. You're either born with it or you're not." "Very nice," the fox then praised, "that you see it that way. Aramarans only come in fast, smart and great. If anything negative is noticed before birth, the embryos are destroyed. That's how they get better and better." The wolf male shook his head. "By the gods, what a stupid thing. Murder from the beginning. My people know about the so-called selection. Supposedly, it is about filtering out everything that is not perfect, that does not serve the people and their development, so that there is no overpopulation. However, they have forgotten that it is diversity that could prevent the extinction of your race. It's a good thing that we Samoydans do it differently." "Well, everyone does as he wants and has to, isn't it?" asked Dragan and Emmerich nodded sternly. Once in their room, they sat down on their beds and waited until Eremia came to check on them. "Hello, men," she said casually. "Did we sleep well?" "Yeah, it was okay," the wolf said tersely, and Dragan flirted with the fawn. "I don't know how you slept, but I had a bad night. Only when you come to visit me, I'm fine, Eremia darling," he exclaimed, beaming. "Yes, it's all right, Dragan. So, what's new with you? Any pain? Or is everything all right?" she asked, unimpressed, whereupon the male fox told her that he felt uncomfortable with the new pills, but couldn't wait to finally get into the surgical container. "Surgical container?" interjected Emmerich questioningly. "Yes, it's this new technique. You're put in a tube and in a few hours later all the fractures are healed and the wounds closed. I finally get rid of this nasty back pain. My paw will also be mended and I won't need any more pills, Dragan rejoiced and the nurse nodded. Something should be free in the next few days. The war leaves us balancing a little on the load limit, explained the vixen, turning to the male wolf and asking him about his condition as well. He was fine so far, except that he wanted to go home again and could hardly wait. It's all good, sister. But could I please have something called a tablet PC to pass the time? You mean those new devices of people? Those gadgets that look like infocoms? I'll have one brought to you, Amarok. And you can keep calling me Eurimia, she offered. The Samoyeden male nodded and got a sweet smile back, which did not go unnoticed by his roommate. When she left, Dragan wanted to know from his comrade if he was slow on the uptake. Why do you ask? The latter asked back, puzzled. Stupid wolf. She fancies you. Bullshit, Amarok waved it off angrily. Sure she does. You can tell. Believe me, people here don't take the doctor-patient relationship too seriously, especially her. What do you mean? Her and I. Before this started with my back, we often. The fox gave out fragmentarily and winked. Speak plainly, Ara. The wolf commanded, looking uncomprehending. The Aramaran seemed amused by the wolf's ignorance. He first laughed and then said that it was something completely normal that one or the other nurse cares a little more about her patients. Are you serious? Amarok would not have expected that, and his spit dropped. So it was normal for patients to have sex with. With nurses or doctors? Why was there something like that? That could be only because of the stupid morals of the Aramarans. They and the people had obviously changed Samojaj's values a lot. Soon, when my back is fixed, I'll prove it to you, Dragan vowed with a grin, teasing, I bet your little friend hasn't done anything in a while, right? Embarrassed, Amarok smiled and his counterpart understood without words. You'll see, Amarok. She wants you. And I want her. I'm not that old yet. You can learn to ride an old horse, the fox grinned smugly. You want, the wolf stuttered. A threesome? Yeah, sure, why not? You can already do something with one or the other ladies here. It helps with recovery and makes headaches disappear, Dragan confirmed his assumption. Now the Samoyeden had to think, with a male, well, sure. Surely Dragan was not his type and also much too old for him. But he, Amarok, also had a sexuality, which he had not lived out for a long time. With a she-fox? Maybe try it sometime, he used to think. He had no idea, but had heard a few things from Joliad, since he had had sex with Eurimia. But with both of them? A male and a female? At the same time? One after the other? Oh, I don't know. He pondered aloud. But again the fox just winked, you'll see, it's a lot of fun. Yes, but are you? Gay? The Aramaran asked. Yes, the wolf confirmed curtly, looking at him expectantly. Actually, no. So that would be new territory for me, too, wolf. And at my age. Now he started laughing heartily, and Amarok didn't understand what was so funny about it. How could it even be that he was talking about sex with someone he barely knew? So, wolf, I would already have fun with it. After all, we share a room. And Eurimia seems to like you and me equally. I bet you that horny bitch wouldn't mind a threesome with me and a wolf, the fox gloated. You've got to be a little nuts, don't you, Ara? Shook Amarok his head, but only earned a laugh from his roommate. Oh, I was just kidding, kiddo. Yes, that was very funny. I'm laughing my head off, the younger one said and sighed. He preferred to think of the things he had once done with Joliad and Chenra. He smiled mischievously as it occurred to him that he certainly wouldn't be averse to that if his sweet fox and the masculine dog. Promptly the door opened and Amarok was startled. In a flash, he put the blanket of his bed over his crotch and the thought popped into his head why Dragan had been so amused. He, the wolf, had an erection the whole time, which had obviously been easy to see. As if on cue, the males looked each other in the eye and the fox laughed out loud again. Amarok was just embarrassed by it all. It was good that a nurse had entered the room to bring him a tablet PC. At least that way the subject had been interrupted. Here you go. But after sunset, the connection is interrupted. We don't want to support the addicts, the nurse hissed and held the device out to him. The male wolf glared at her and she looked back disparagingly, for she seemed to be disgusted by the loud laughter of Dragan. Thank you very much, Amarok said when the nurse had already left the room. She walked so fast that one could have thought she had been on the run. What a stupid bitch. She's always completely conceited, just disgusting, Dragan shook his head. So, Amarok said, between you and me, you're going to ram that one if she goes along with it. Completely shocked, the male fox looked at his counterpart in a few blinks of an eye passed, in which neither of the two even made a face, when suddenly they both began to laugh as if from the same throat and tears even shot out of the wolf's eyes. He couldn't remember the last time he had laughed so loudly and heartily, but it did him a world of good. A few tears fell onto the shiny silver tablet and dripped onto the reflective display. The wolf quickly wiped them away, still whooping and on the verge of a laughing fit. You're really good, wolf. Chuckled Dragan, knowing that he had managed to break the ice and give the younger man a laugh again. He looked much better that way, and it was more in line with the image of a young Samoyeden who still had his whole life ahead of him. Amarok came to rest again, but kept giggling in between when the human device showed a splash screen. It was nice to finally be able to have some carefree fun again. Although he didn't know how he had come up with that stupid line, he hadn't said anything that funny in a long time. And that meant much more, because from now on the past seemed to be the past and it was time to finally look into the future. No matter what one would have called this past chapter, it was closed. New friends were waiting out there, new experiences, new insights, a new destiny. Dragan was now sitting on his bed with a book and was completely silent. He seemed to be completely absorbed in it. The title Silent Desire didn't mean anything to Amarok, but he had other things to do. He thought his piece about it and suspected that his roommate must be someone who was libidinous. This strange tablet device, which was completely different from the infocoms of the Aramarans at the time, opened up the world of an all-encompassing network to Amarok. Since the time people came to Alpha Vol, there had been many changes, many things were now called by the American, Western model, as it was called. So now they also said internet and computer. Amarok had spent the last few seemingly endless years caught up in his grief. He was not interested in all these innovations. It was rather that he would have preferred to have everything as it was before he had met Chenra Gejays. Now, however, all that could not be changed and even the sentimental wolf had to adapt willy-nilly to the world in which he now lived. Amarok read just as silently as his roommate. The silence of it indicated that there would be a lot of truth in it. Absorbed, the male wolf looked at the screen. He had entered the name Chenra Gejays on a search page, expecting well-sorted, uncensored information like he was used to from the info, comms. But he was disappointed, whatever page he opened contained many offers to buy, which filled a large part of the screen and were truly intrusive. Many breasts of human and anthro women were on display, which left Amarok a bit stunned, so he kept shaking his head. Everything was colorful, cluttered, confusing. Dragan, who noticed this at some point, stood up and walked over to his comrade. He looked over his shoulder and took the device from his hand. Let me show you how to do that, Amarok. Haven't you ever used one of these before? He asked. Honestly, no. Pay attention, you type in what you're looking for up here and then add exclusion criteria. The fox explained, typing away proficiently on the device and handing it back to Amarok. He lay back on the bed, grinned, and continued reading his book. Thank you. That helped a lot, praised the Samoyeden. Now he was satisfied and finally had the information he was looking for in front of him. He quickly realized that success in the search depended on asking the most precise questions possible for the right answers. Thank the gods, no more sex ads. What would anyone want with that? How can you make stuff like that available to everyone? Isn't it something intimate and beautiful that only concerns the people who want to do it right now? What happened to our world? He asked, to which Dragan smirked. Then the male fox looked up from his book and looked thoughtful. He took these things for granted, after all, he hadn't lived in depression for 6 years. Sex just sells well. It distracts people from important things, and everyone likes to do it. I think you'll find the answer to that question when you find the answer to all the other questions you ask yourself, Samo, he said. Again, they both sank into their texts and it took quite a while until Amarok suddenly lost his breath at what he saw there, Under the name Chenrogejays was the address of a page within the internet on which the picture of a human man could be recognized. He had blonde hair, wore glasses and had to be in his mid-30s. His look was serious but not sad, and under his picture was written Chenrogejays, 1983-2019. The wolf remembered, and this struck like lightning, the man he saw there. He knew him. Chenra had shown the wolf this man, shortly after the leader's tower had collapsed in Bolmer. At that time, the shepherd claimed that the human and he were one and the same person. But he, Amarok, had not believed him at first. Why should he? It was completely absurd. If this person really exists, or existed, and if his name is really Chenrogejays, or was, then who is this shepherd? Asked the voice of Dragan, looking over the wolf's shoulder again. Amarok cringed, "Whoa, damn. You stupid fox, don't you ever do that to me again." The wolf's heart was beating strong and fast and he felt like he was about to faint. "I'm sorry," the fox apologized. "But seriously, wolf. If that's Chenra there, who is that dog? One of them is lying for sure. But since this human has been dead for a while, that means that this dog is not Chenra, but only pretends to be," Amarok added in amazement. "But why? Why would he pull such nonsense?" Dragan stimulated the thoughts further. "I don't know either," the wolf admitted, "but he does seem to have stolen his identity, his name." He tried to remember what the Alsatian had told him back when they had mysteriously visited Earth. The Anthro spoke of a book that he, or the human, had written. "Damn, I can't remember the title of that stupid book," he lamented. "What book?" his roommate wanted to know curiously. He said then that he had written a story about me and Joliad. It was 3 words. "I don't remember. Crap. The whole thing was ages ago, too. Shania Razivo Gaja Z. Translated, who honors the mother and is of the earth. So Chenrogejays is a short form comma the wolf thought reading and was now even more confused, scratched his head and sighed. "Take a break first, Amarok. The sun will disappear soon and then it's over with the internet anyway. Continue tomorrow. Maybe you'll remember then," the fox suggested and Amarok nodded. They got up from their beds and went to the cafeteria for a piece of cake and coffee. "What do you think that dog wants from you, Amarok?" the old man asked, smacking his lips. "We had something together once. At least for one night," the wolf admitted. The fox was visibly impressed by this. "You screwed a dog, an Alsatian? Pretty nice. I'm sure not many have done that." "What do you mean?" "Well, these guys tend to keep to themselves. They're currently helping with this stupid war, but they want to retire afterward without any claims. At least that's what they say. They're like shy deer that don't make friends quickly, almost a little antisocial." The young wolf drank some coffee and asked what this had to do with his sex with the Alsatian, whereupon Dragan explained that the sheepdogs were considered to be very secretive and rather aloof. He, Amarok, must have caught a trusting specimen. It was hard for Dragan to imagine that there would be homosexuals among them, but Amarok's story proved him wrong. "Gay or not, he has secrets. And I would like to elicit them from him. But first I have to see him again. Then I'll also ask him why he left me back then," the Samo spoke, and his roommate said he'd better keep looking for info before he got into a situation he couldn't control. "Yes, I think you're right. I'll continue tomorrow. I'm getting tired, too." Then they went back to the room and turned off the light, after which Amarok again remembered that time. After breaking all his furniture and almost emptying the third bottle, Amarok fell down drunk and remained motionless on the floor, having a very lucid dream. He was standing on a green meadow, the sky was blue, and it was a sunny day. It was almost absolutely silent and inner peace was in his soul. Completely motionless, he listened to the rustling of the lush, long stalks and closed his eyes when, after a brief pause, he heard a voice. "Greetings, Amarok, wolf of Samojaja." Quickly the male opened his eyes and caught sight of a tall, silver figure, a she-wolf, standing on 4 paws. "Amajaja?" he said with widened eyes and promptly fell to his knees in front of the she-wolf. The latter smiled and asked Amarok to stand up again. "To some of you, that may be my name, young wolf. Aramarans call me Aria. It is good that you come to see me in your dream. It has been a very long time since I have spoken to anyone. I know that things have not been very good for you in the past. But I want that to change now. I was never really pious, Amajaja. I'm sorry, but I never believed that you existed, the male confessed, lowering his head. Not all wolves believe in me, Amarok. I must admit that I also try to avoid interfering in your world. That is, after all, my prime directive. How could you be convinced of my existence if you couldn't see or hear me? She asked, inviting her interlocutor to follow her with a gentle motion of her head. They walked through the grass for a while, with the goddess correcting Amarok. Why do you say that you didn't believe in me? You spoke to me a long time ago, don't you remember? I don't quite understand. The cultures of Aramaria and Somojaja, as you know, are oriented to the stars. At least a small part of the wolves lives this belief. This is also true for you. Deep inside you believe, because at that time you spoke very sweetly about you and Joliad and your love for each other and wished that it would never end. You addressed your words directly to me. The moon, Amarok interjected. You are our moon, Samo our sun. But of course. I'm an idiot. Now I understand. The mother nodded. But unfortunately, although you obviously heard me then, you didn't listen to me. My love for him did not last very long. Now he is dead and I am alone, Amarok regretted. They stopped and the she-wolf glared at her companion, Nonsense, Amarok. Your love for Joliad continues to exist. Death, after all, is not a barrier or boundary. It is a new, expanded state. Your friend not being here doesn't mean you have to stop loving him. Thoughtfully and sadly, the male now admitted that he had already cheated on Kakodaz with Chenra on the day of his death. He had slept with this stranger and originally even wanted more from him. That is also why I allowed Joliad to see you one last time, my son. He wanted to show you that he still loves you and give you his blessing. Why do you still doubt? They continued walking and Amarok thought, what she said was true. Besides, as a goddess, she knew everything and had been everywhere at all times, invisible. Is Joliad with you, somewhere up there? Can't you make him appear again? He wanted to know. Oh Amarok, she sighed, I can't do that. That one time was already an exception. But it's like he once told you, the only thing that matters is your happiness, your continued life, please believe me. You have a lot to do. Soon. They came to a shallow river and looked at its reflecting surface. Here I made Ephraim, one of the gods who created all life, drink and bathe. He could not see and could not speak. I made him able to speak. My husband, Aram, gave him back his sight, said the she-wolf. Aram? I thought your husband was Samo, or did I miss something? Replied Amarok incredulously. Oh, forgive me, young wolf, I have to explain something to you. The Aramarans understand the story of origin to mean that they are a cross between a fox and a wolf, that is, between Aram and me. That is also completely correct. Most of your countrymen worship their queen as their goddess, however, there are some who believe in a story where they are descended from me and a male wolf. She may be my queen. But a goddess she is not. I don't believe in the cult of personality, Ama. Arya smiled, I know. You don't carry a certain aversion to it for no reason, you don't realize it, but you are one of those who adore Banato, my first son, and call him Samo. His name plays only a small role. He remains the same. But the truth is that your forefather is not a wolf, as you suppose, but his very father, Aram. I don't understand, Amarok confessed, as Arya sat down on the bank of the body of water and looked with him into the distance toward a forest whose deciduous trees bore shining kopachekas. Are you saying that everything is wrong? You mean that the wolves who believe in you are also crossbreeds of you and Aram, a fox? The goddess looked at him and explained further, you worship Samo and by that you mean a wolf. But the Samo you should worship is Aram. As I said, his name is not the decisive thing. And yet your country is named after a view of history that not too many wolves have. A minority has decided. What do you mean? He asked, not understanding. Aram and Arya, Samo and Jaja. Doesn't ring a bell, Amarok? The she-wolf teased, smiling. Unfortunately, he confessed, I have to say that it doesn't ring many bells. I'm sorry, But all these puzzles lately are challenging my mind quite a bit. I think my brain is a little too small for that. Not at all. I'll explain it to you, Aram and Arya, Samo and Jaja, Aramaria and Samojaja, do you understand now? As if struck by a bolt of lightning, Amarok uttered a nonsensical ding-dong, at which the fawn looked irritated. Why, yes. Now I understand, mother. So you are gods to us all, are you not? A nod from Arya made Amarok open his eyes and muzzle. Why hadn't he or anyone else noticed that the gods of the Aramarans and the Samoydans were the same? How could he, could everyone else, be so stupid? It is so that I am in the thoughts of not too many of you. I am the primordial wolf and from the point of view of the foxes I am Arya, a wolf calls me Jaja. I remain the same, because I am the mother of all of you. Partly your people are descended from me and Aram's son Banato, and yet each race thinks for itself to believe in the only true gods. This, of course, is nonsense, as you can now imagine. The truth is that they all believe the same thing, but interpret it differently because of their different languages and points of view. There were even religious wars over this a few hundred years ago. This is so stupid and senseless that there can hardly be reasonable words of explanation for it. History can be interpreted in very different ways. Yes, I have to agree with you, Amma, the male confirmed, but tell me, why am I dreaming about you? And where is your husband, Samo? Arya explained to the wolf that her husband had been killed by Banato at that time. He was the direct ancestor of some wolves, which is why they also believe that he was the origin of their kind. However, this assumption was wrong, because Banato also had a father. And he was the same fox who was also the father of the Aramarans. The goddess told the things that she also revealed to Joliad long ago. But unlike him, Amarok was not angry at all, but at most irritated, rather had compassion and listened while he stroked her fur and leaned against her. He was so different, peaceful and understanding. Prudently sorting out his thoughts, the male spoke, "All that you told me? It does mean that some of my people are very closely related to the Aramarans, doesn't it?" "That too, yes," the she-wolf confirmed. "It means that the war thus seems a little more nonsensical." Carteron, however, did not allow anything to be explained to him at the time, and did not want to hear the truth. He knew what Banato had done to me, that at some point he came to your land and mated with pure wolf females, which eventually gave rise to the Samoydans. These in turn mated with pure wolves. In averting the genetic atrophy of the foxes, they could well have helped, but Radovan would not admit that. He was dogged, stubborn and aggressive when he learned the truth. He was kind of a jerk, Amarok spoke dismissively. Joliad reacted very similarly at that time, said the she-wolf then. He became very angry. Actually, I would have expected that in a wolf, not an Aramaran. Although your friend was a very good-natured fox, he could hardly restrain himself then. The male grinned and breathed the fresh air, after which he sighed and said, "Well, males can be quite the hotheads. Whether fox or wolf. Where is Samo? Aram anyway?" Arya looked up at the sky and said, "Look up, Amarok. There he is." The male wolf also looked up and was blinded by the sun, so he protected himself from it with one hand. He understood immediately, the sun was her husband. It was Samo. Samo, the fox, not the wolf. The sun is companion of the moon. The moon is the companion of the sun. A fox, golden like a big bright star. A she-wolf, silver like the planet's satellite. But why isn't he here, like you? The Anthro wanted to know. It will have to do with Banato murdering him, I suspect, the she-wolf mused, but unfortunately I don't know. After all, only I died a natural death. That's a pity. I would have liked to have met him. It must be very lonely for you, here in this strange fiction, all without him. Arya looked up again and mused with her eyes closed, "Well, when there is a total eclipse of the sun in the sky, he appears to me and gives me a long kiss. But that happens very rarely, you know. The eclipse has to be absolutely perfect, which has only happened once so far, though. But that was a long time ago. I miss him, Amarok." She looked at him and tears made her eyes glisten, whereupon the male hugged her and asked, "Don't cry, Amma Jaja, surely you will see him again soon." "Oh," she sighed then, "you are so sweet, Amarok. The war will soon be over and you will finally find your well-deserved peace. I don't begrudge it to you. And what about the Alsatian Chenra? Who is he and what does he want? But without answering, Arya loosened the embrace and looked irritated. Who? She asked, after which the wolf woke up from his dream again. Even now, 6 years later, he awoke aghast, only today he shouted, "Vulpes lupus canis," startling his roommate who was sitting on his bed with the TV on. What? Who? Asked Dragan. The wolf sat up, out of breath. The book, he shouted, by Chenra Gages. It's called Vulpes lupus canis. The fox, the wolf and the dog. That's it. So what? What's wrong with this book? This is our story, my story. It is very clear, again and again it is about Joliad and me. Always related to this Alsatian. Fox, wolf, dog. I must change the course of history. The old teachings are wrong. I remember again. Yeah, sure, Amarok, the fox waved off. But right now, I'm going to watch the news. Please, this is important. The elder stared at the screen. News was running there and it was about current developments of the war. That is why the current leader of Aramaria, Atamak Kardaran, decided to start negotiations again with Queen Serena of Somogitia and the Sovereign of Alsatianaya about the continuation and the end of the war, which has already lasted for more than 6 years. However, it is expected that this fourth round will also fail to reach an agreement. Most recently, efforts had failed due to the veto of the Gajan Parliament. Oh, it's not going to work out again. Those idiots, Dragan scolded contemptuously. The Parliament of the Gajans, of the humans? Asked Amarok, looking intently at the screen. They now showed some destroyed towns of Aramaria and then Atamak, who spoke briefly into the microphone, greeted Queen Serena, after which they both retreated into a building. Amarok stared wide-eyed as an Alsatian suddenly appeared in the frame, greeted by various officials before also entering the building to join the conversation. This can't be true. He exclaimed. Amarok, don't yell like that. I want to see this. His comrade hissed annoyed and turned up the volume. As we can see in these live images, the Sovereign of Alsatianaya, better known by his title Kisar, has just arrived and entered the negotiation venue. The crowds gathered in front of the building in the center of Bulmer are eagerly awaiting the arrival of Ronald Johnson, President of the United States of America on Gaja and Chairman of the Parliament of Earth Citizens. And there he is driving up, right on time. In the broadcast, masses of foxes, wolves and other anthros could be seen waiting outside the building while a human got out of a large black car and waved at them. The security forces were struggling to hold back the mob and it was too obvious that not everyone was sympathetic to this human, this stranger. The sun was reflected off large placards that said things like "Get out of Somogitia," "Get the hell out of Alpha Vol," "No pause equals none of us." The mood seemed more heated than the show wanted its viewers to believe, and no doubt, while on the one hand it was about ending the war, the anthros also wanted people to leave. What's that flathead doing there anyway? He has nothing to do with it. Doesn't he have something to do on Gaja? Dragan grumbled, referring to the US president. It can't be. That. Was. Chenra. He is the leader of the Alsatians? Amarok thought, stunned. We will of course keep you informed live about the progress of the talks. But now first to the sport, it sounded from the device, which the fox now switched off annoyed. Well, he said, addressing Amarok, you're amazed, aren't you? Aren't they all crazy? None of this will work as long as the Gajans are involved, if you ask me. They don't have a clue what's going on here, and they're fumbling all over the place. Dragan, the Alsatian just, stammered the younger, that was Chenra, the shepherd dog who is looking for me. The one I'm looking for. Really? The fox asked incredulously. So, you were in bed with the Kisar? Ha ha ha. His loud laughter irritated his counterpart. So what? You didn't just have sex with an Alsatian, you had sex with the big one. But sure, kid. And Yeremia and I are getting married tomorrow, right after I run a marathon with my broken paw and do 3 rolls backwards, the Aramaran spoke ironically. Amarok told him that what he claimed was true and that he would be happy to prove it to him. Why does he call himself Kisar? The wolf wanted to know. It's a Samoyedan term that actually can't be translated freely at all. The word is not a title, after all, as they use it there. He only earned a questioning look from his counterpart and was asked to explain what this word meant. It comes from the army of my country and means something like freedom, honor, cohesion and... Oh! He broke off, and when he and his foxish sidekick uttered the word sovereignty in unison, he understood, Kisar, that was the title of a sovereign, the sovereign of Alsatianaya. Now I understand, the wolf spoke, then quickly jumped off the bed and shouted, I have to go. Take care, Dragon. Maybe we'll meet again. Hastily, he put on his shoes as his roommate just looked at him uncomprehendingly, unable to stop him or ask what he was up to now. Quickly, Amarok took his things out of the locker, rushed out of the room and ran down the hall. Since he hadn't been discharged yet, he wasn't allowed to leave the clinic, so he tried to remain undetected and was glad that there was plenty for everyone to do here. New patients were constantly coming into the building and it was very hectic everywhere. He found a room where doctors' coats were hanging, put one on and planned to leave the hospital unnoticed in this disguise. When he then walked past a bed on which an injured person was lying, about whom no one cared, the latter suddenly reached out his hand and held onto the trouser leg of the wolf. The male wolf was startled and only uttered a hey, what are you doing? Please, brother. Help me. I am in pain. You have to help me. The patient pleaded, and Amarok realized that the injured man, also Samoyedan, had had a leg torn off. His lower body was covered, but the pure white sheet could do nothing against his bleeding. A real doctor came running past them at a fast pace and Amarok stopped him, colleague, please take care of him first. He is one of our people after all. It looks bad for him, so hurry up. The doctor nodded quickly without further inquiry and looked at the injury, at which point the fleeing man leaned over to the patient, looked at him resolutely, and said, don't worry, my friend. It's me, Amarok, and I'm going to end this fucking war now. The face of the doomed man lit up when he realized who he had before him, and so he called out to the young male again and again, yes, it is you. The hero. Finish it, for this will please the gods.